This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Later this week, Oregon State Legislature with a special session called by the governor. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but we also want to look at the state revenue forecast, among other things, and we're going to do that with State Senator David Brock Smith joining us as he travels around the area. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here.
So, first of all, the revenue forecast, it's interesting how that gets rolled out, because on days that a new revenue forecast comes out, I'll get an email from the governor's office, usually followed in an hour, maybe less, maybe more, with some Republican response as well. But a lot of times, as all the political folks put out their thoughts about the revenue forecast, a lot of specifics about the actual forecast itself aren't as easily accessible. What have you seen from the revenue forecast today?
Thank you, Kyle. So the revenue forecast has revenue down by about $880 million. Now, mind you, we had record revenue leading up to this, so it's a little bit of funny math, because what they're saying is, even though we had a $1.6 billion kicker, and we had an additional $3 billion. They're saying that we're going to be down from that, and these are additional resources. Now, you have a situation where the Democrats' response, of course, immediately blamed it on the Republican Big Beautiful Bill, or H.R. 1, which is meant for Oregonians to keep more of their dollars, as well as those across the country. And immediately blamed it on President Trump. However, it was Congress that moved the legislation. So there is the Republican response the governor's response was immediately the first line, blaming it on President Trump. And our response is very simple. That's $880 million that Oregonians are going to be able to keep in their pockets and use for their families, for their communities, and for themselves. And further, the Democrats and the governor don't want to talk about the 25,000 jobs, fewer jobs that we have in the state over the year, and the media that has published over the last year or more about the number of businesses that are leaving the state because of the continued push on higher taxes and the fact that we're ranked 39th in business friendliness in the nation.
And at the same time, during all these last few years, the state budget, if I recall correctly, has doubled in about the last decade, right?
Yeah, in the last 12 years, Kyle, the state's budget has doubled. We're at roughly, if you look at the amount of resources that are coming in to the state outside of the federal dollars and, you know, those Medicare, Medicaid dollars and so forth, you're looking at an additional, we have roughly a $26, $27 billion budget, and that has more than doubled in the last 12 years. Yes, you're right.
And
now, again, if I can just add to that, Kyle, you're in a situation where a lot of those resources that come in, for example, are and one of the reasons why they're saying that this revenue forecast is down is because we multiply those dollars. So when it comes to federal healthcare funding, Oregon will invest a dollar, and sometimes they bring back a 5 or a 7 time multiplier back. Now, those dollars are outside of this $27 billion budget because those are Medicaid dollars. But what they're not telling you is, and I discussed it during session, and they're still trying to pin down the number, but you saw this from Governor Newsom, you saw this from Governor Walz in Minnesota, but the state spends roughly $700 million on funding health care for non-documented illegal aliens within the state. And so budgets are priorities, and the Democrat supermajority has the sole authority to create those budgets. And even Governor Newsom of California and Governor Walz of Minnesota realized that during their last budget cycle and started to curtail those dollars because they would be illegal to use federal dollars to fund health care for non-documented illegal aliens within the state. However, Oregon did not take those steps forward during this budget cycle.
Now, as we take a look at the information out today, one of the other comments as well from the House Republican leader, Christine Drazen, really emphasized the aspect of the number of folks in the state who have lost or are getting ready to lose jobs because companies have shut down or moved out of the state. Do you feel like people are starting to realize what the impact of some of these company exits is going to potentially do to the state?
I do. And you even had Democrat Senator Jeanine Solman from the Hillsborough area speak about it in a remonstrance on the Senate floor during session. I truly believe that many of the, you know, the moderate Democrats like her are understanding this. I know Co-Chair Labor does, but the governor is just completely unaware. I truly believe she must be aware, but she's just, you know, head down like a football fullback, right? Without you know, tax and spend as we're moving forward with the special session that we're going to talk about in the next segment. But you're in a situation where, like I said, in the Senate Republican release, the 25,000 jobs that we've lost in the year in this state, many of those are rural Oregon jobs, but some of them are Intel jobs in Jeanine's, Senator Solman's district up in Hillsborough. I mean, the problem with socialism, right, as we know, is at some point you run out of other people's money. And you're in a situation in the state of Oregon that we're going into a special session called by the governor so that we can save under 500 SEIU union jobs and ODOT, but yet we've lost thousands and thousands of jobs of the private sector, and the Democrat supermajority policies under the governor just continue to hammer away at those private sector jobs, and they can care less about them. Yet these union employees pay union dues and fund Democrat campaigns, and here the governor is calling a special session to remedy it.
And to kind of transition with that thought, do you feel like, and I know timing, maybe it was they were aware of this, maybe they weren't, but the timing of the revenue forecast coming out 48 hours before the special session, I wonder if that's going to lead to more controversy during the session itself.
Well, it's certainly going to lead to more conversations. And the timing of the governor knew when she called the special session that the revenue forecast was going to come out today. We know those dates in advance, and frankly, she knew the revenue forecast yesterday because she always gets a primer on it, if not before. I can tell you, and you know, based on Leader Drazen and Leader Bonham's comments on the revenue forecast, we darn well will be talking about Oregonians and Oregonians' paychecks as we move into this special session, and the fact that the supermajority of Democrats and the governor of this state have turned their backs to the private sector that are the business drivers of this state, and it is asinine. And more Oregonians are realizing it, and so we're going to be talking more about it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
All right, we're going to talk about that special session when we come back. The interview with State Senator David Brock Smith, a podcast at 541radio.com, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow we talk about forest bridges. They've got a new paper out. Denise Barrett and Rick Sohn from the organization will be on. We're joined by State Senator David Brock Smith this afternoon, getting ready for the Oregon State Legislature's special session, which begins on Friday. And that's a curious point, because to some, the way it's being rolled out, it sounds like it's a one-day event. But from what you just said ahead of the break there, it sounds like it could be a lot longer. I guess, first of all, kind of explain the logistics and how this special session is going to work.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, so the House and Senate Republicans have no interest in helping expedite and facilitate the Democrats' agenda to raise $5.8 billion in estimated taxes on Oregonians over the next 10 years. So the largest single gas tax increase in the state's history. Not to mention in Section 12 of that gas tax, it seems to be, it could be unconstitutional, because in order for us to raise taxes, the bill has to, of course, start in the House, but it needs a three-fifths majority. And that is why it's so crucial that we don't slip into the supermajority as we have in both the House and the Senate, because then the Democrats, being in the supermajority, had the three-fifths majority and the opportunity to raise taxes without the support of any Republicans. And so on Friday, the governor called a special session, but and they will organize. We will then first read the bill, LC2, and then it will go to committee. And we pushed, a lot of us, myself included, pushed really hard for them to have another hearing, because they weren't going to have another hearing on the very bill that they're going to second read, because they said, well, we're having the hearing on Monday. And they did have the hearing last Monday. And over 97% of the people, on my understanding, are in opposition in their submitted testimony. And so they will have that hearing on the Joint Committee on Monday. And then the bill, they will then listen to more public. The public will have 48 hours to submit their testimony from the start of the hearing. They will then second read the bill on Saturday in the House. And then they will third read the bill on Sunday in the House. And that's when, after third reading, is when the debate on the bill and the vote will occur in the House. They will then attempt to have a first reading in the Senate Sunday afternoon. And then, now normally if it's a regular bill, not in a joint committee, the bill would then have to go to a committee in the Senate, but since it's a joint committee, it does not have to go back to committee. And so it will be second read on Monday, Labor Day, in the Senate, and then third read on Tuesday in the Senate, where then it will be voted on. And I'll stop there, because that's the procedures.
And so that is all pretty locked in, right?
Well, it is. I mean, the Democrats would love, and Governor Kotek would love, for us to waive second reading and waive third reading so that they can vote on the bill on Friday in the House and then move it over to the Senate and do the same thing. We have the ability to do that, but in order for that to happen, they have to have 20 in the Senate and they have to have 40 in the House. We're not interested in providing and giving them that. So they don't have the necessary numbers in order to waive the rules of the Constitution. So the only change I can see happening is if they are not able to first read the bill in the Senate on Sunday after it's read in the House. It will have to be first read on Monday, second read on Tuesday, third read on Wednesday. But in essence, Kyle, you know, we'll go into the meat if you want. They're raising the gas tax since 6 cents. This hurts rural Oregonians more, because rural Oregonians have to travel farther for goods and services than our urban counterparts. Folks in my community of Port Orford, for example, are living at the poverty level. They're not driving fuel-efficient vehicles, and the fuel is already more expensive because it takes farther to get there. And there's only one gas station in the community, and yet a Walmart or Fred Meyer or other large stores for them to save money is an hour away either way. And so they're the ones that are going to be impacted greatly by these decisions of the supermajority Democrats. It increases the registration and title fees, and it doubles the payroll tax, And they're basically trying to do this over Labor Day weekend, when Oregonians are taking their last vacations of the year, they're essentially doubling the payroll tax on Labor Day, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
So what do you see as the ultimate outcome of the session?
Well, ultimately, I have presented with my colleagues alternatives in the 2017 transportation package that was led by now Congressman Bentz, then Senator Bentz, and Representative Bentz and Representative Katie McEwen. It was a bipartisan piece of legislation. I did not support it in 2017, but others did. During that, there was legislatively allocated dollars to fund different projects around the state. The Rose Quarter, for example, project had hundreds of millions of dollars dedicated to fund that project. Now we know that project has ballooned. And you're in a situation where the federal government, it was reported about a month and a half ago, has decided they are not going to be investing in that project. So you have hundreds of millions of dollars in that project alone, let alone other projects around the state, is my understanding, that you can redirect those dollars legislatively to fill this budget hole. And then that forces the Democrats to the table for a bipartisan a piece of legislation that we can work on in the interim and bring back in the 2026 legislative session that does not negatively impact Oregonians like this will do. The governor's PLA needs to go away for those. The project labor agreement, she signed an executive order mandating that any state contracts have to have basically union employees, which is ridiculous. It carves out 80% of the contractors in the state from being able to bid on those contracts, especially in our rural communities, while increasing those costs 20 to 30% of those projects. And it's just a payback, like similar legislation that did pass and some that we were able to stop during the legislative session, payback to unions in the process, because they knew they needed to get it done before campaign finance reform kicks in 2027.
So if this doesn't go through, what happens with the ODOT funding?
I don't know of any Senate Republicans that are voting for this bill, so they need all the 18 Democrats. They need all 36 Democrats to vote for the bill in the House. If this doesn't pass, Governor Kotek has said that she's going to lay off these employees. She's going to shut down maintenance yards across the state that she threatened to do before calling the special session. That is what's going to happen. But again, I'm hoping that we can convince at least seven Democrats in the House, and at least three Democrats or four Democrats in the Senate, that we can reallocate existing dollars, as the House and Senate Republicans wanted to do during session, but we can reallocate these. We have savings, and then we can reallocate these existing dollars that are funding projects that have not been started or do not have matching federal funds to start, so so that we can bridge the gap, keep the jobs, keep the road maintenance going. These are the hardcore workers on the line that were going to be laid off anyway, not the upper echelon folks. And the situation will be, we will then be able to get the Democrats to the table to create a package that can be I can't say it will be acceptable until we're able to talk about it. But we were engaged in the legislative process to bring something like that to the table during the session, and the Democrats refused to listen to us. So I'm hopeful we can make them listen and stop this legislation from moving forward. Use existing dollars, and let's get to work.
All right, could be an interesting next few days. State Senator David Brock-Smith, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.